You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Crazy night at the G1C tonight as your Sacramento Kings lose to the Oklahoma City Thunder in last-second fashion. Russell Westbrook with the dagger three, I guess you could say. It was one of the only shots he made all night, one of the only threes he made all night. He did finish with a triple-double. What else is new? But the Kings come away losers, 110-107. This game was wild. I know some Kings fans are going to hate it, but I think this is exactly what you want out of a game at this point in the season. They were able to overcome a huge lead, played well all the way until the end. It just did not break their way. They were primed to go to overtime after a Justin Jackson putback, after a weird Vince Carter missed three. I mean, he took like a 35-footer, and he held that post, too. He thought that thing was good. He called it. He said, good. Rain Man. But fell short. Temple gets the rebound, goes for a little baseline mid-range. That falls short, too. Justin Jackson able to get the rebound and the putback. 1 second left on the clock. OKC gets the rock. A quick, ugly three-point shot from Russ Westbrook goes in. It was weird. It was a line drive. I didn't think it had a shot, had a chance, but sure enough. So that's the way it goes. I know some Kings fans are going to hate hearing this, but I think that's the best outcome. And I'm not advocating losing. I'm not advocating not trying or sitting your best players or anything like that. I just think you can find positives in a loss at this point of the year, especially this kind of loss where they play well for three quarters at least. And if you want to get upset about the first quarter, that is absolutely understandable. Let's get right into it. First quarter, the Kings come out flat as they have been known to do. They get down 44-21 in the first quarter. Ugly first quarter, 44-21. Carmelo could not miss. Kings couldn't hit anything. Z-Bo was able to get some shots to go eventually. But in those next three quarters, man, they kind of put it on the Thunder. Like, for real. outplayed the Thunder in those last three quarters. And it's part of what some people don't buy into the Thunder. Because that they can get lackadaisical. And they're not as deep, etc. But this isn't the Thunder podcast. This is the Kings podcast. So they ended up, down seven going into halftime, 67-60. And I have to be honest, I had a buttload of notes that I left at the studio, so I am noteless right now. But what's the math on that? They outscore them 39-22. No, 25. Who knows? But either way, they outplay them in the second quarter. Come out in the third, do the same thing. They actually have the lead going into the fourth, 90-85. I got some highlights I'm going to play here in a minute. Just a great game for the Kings, and I know some Kings fans would rather have the win. I mean, that's the only thing that would make this game better is the W, but there's positives in a loss, even though Kings fans don't like hearing that. It's just the truth, especially considering how many teams are floating around that first pick. It's not as if, oh, okay, we're going to win games and then we'll get the second or third pick. There's seven teams, I believe, within a game or two of that first pick probability. So you may be 1-2 games out of that first pick probability and not pick till 7 or 8. So it's a huge difference right now. It's not as if it's between the Kings and the Mavs are the only two teams. There's a lot of teams vying for that top pick. So it does matter. It could be a huge difference as far as where you're picking in the first round. And as I've mentioned, the only thing that really matters with the draft pick is that they get it right, but you have a better probability of getting it right the higher you pick. So first highlight I'm going to start with, and I just have to because everyone loves VC. VC got himself a nice dunk tonight, and my man threw it down.
Buddy cruises across the midcourt line. Hands to Carter, takes the three, now drives, finds the seam, look out, above the rim, and the throwdown by Vince Carter. He stopped a pose just a moment after he threw that one down. He said, yeah, let's turn back the clock one more time. Number 15 off the bounce. So much fun seeing him above the rim.
VC turning back the clock tonight with the dunk. As I mentioned, man, his late three was kind of funny. I cannot lie. But Vince Carter, everyone loves Vince. It's always good to see him throw down like the old days. And, I mean, it helps with the team gets hyped, man. Anytime a guy like Vince Carter throws down, the team's going to get hyped, and that's exactly what happened. Zach Randolph, another older player who had a great game tonight, put up 29 points, 12 rebounds. He was 4 of 7 from 3. The only problem, he was minus 15. A big part of that is the first quarter. But still, that's a good stat line if you just get away from the plus-minus. Bogey kind of had an off night tonight. Was not his best showing. Only 4 points in 18 minutes. But, you know, you're going to have nights like that. It is what it is when it comes to Bogey. Justin Jackson, besides the putback, he also had a rough night. But again, he played 29 minutes. That's good experience for him. I'd rather him get the minutes whether he's playing good or not. Buddy Hield, great night for Buddy Hield. Finally gets some playing time that I'm happy with. He got 28 minutes tonight, puts up a double-double, 19 and 10, and he was huge for the Kings throughout the game. Went 3 of 4 from 3, 8 of 13 overall from the field. The guy can fill it up, and a team like the Kings needs that. They absolutely need that. And I know defensively they struggle, and Buddy's not the best defender, but at the same time, when you're just a bad defensive team, what's the point of not having him out there? Scal's another one who had a huge game. Or huge is a tough one. He had a good game. For his first game back, he played well. He gave the team a bunch of energy in that second quarter when they come out down 23. He was a big part of that comeback in the second quarter, as was Buddy Hield and Frank Mason as well, actually. Frank Mason, numbers aren't great, but he was part of that energy to come back in the second quarter and make it a game. Because it's easy for a team to pack it in when you're down 23 after 12 minutes, man. Like, they could have easily called it a night, but they did not. Wild night at G1C. As I mentioned, Scal, big game. Here was one of his big plays.
Kings in this second quarter have outscored the Raptors 17-5. Here's a great block inside. Scal will beat Sierra on a drive by the Thunder. Scal back at the other end, rips it with a left hand. And we're down to a 9-point single-digit ball game. Let's make that your Berko Redwood moment of the game. Great push by the Kings, 19-5 in this quarter to get it to 49-40.
And we're back. Buddy Hield again. As I mentioned before, had a big night for the Kings. 19 points, 28 minutes, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 3 of 4 from 3. The guy, I don't know how he doesn't get more minutes. That's the only way I can put it. But he got him tonight, and hopefully this is something that we will see moving forward. He had himself some big shots tonight. We're going to hear his highlights in just a second. I'm intrigued and excited because, as you've heard me mention over the last 2 weeks, I just don't understand why he doesn't get the minutes. De'Aaron Fox was out tonight, conjunctivitis, pink eye, I guess you could say. Costa Kufis was out as well. He was sick. So you're hoping that's not the reason they got these minutes. Maybe it is, but I'm hoping throughout the rest of these 24 games left that these minutes are consistent for guys like Scal and Buddy Hield. Because at this point, those minutes are more valuable to them and their development than to, say, Costa, who you know I love. I'm a Costa stan, for real. I like Costa a lot. But those minutes going to Scal are more important than Costa getting some run, unless you're really trying to up some trade value, which at this point, 3 years in, on a pretty cheap contract, you're not going to build his trade value anymore. That's just someone you want to keep at this point. Same thing, well, not so much with De'Aaron. Obviously, you want minutes for De'Aaron, but there's no reason Buddy Hield can't be playing 28 minutes a night. So hopefully they stick with it. Here are some of his highlights from a big game for Buddy Hield tonight.
On the left angle, Hield shoulders for space, gets inside, goes to the left hand, off the bounce and scores it. Buddy Hield with a nice offensive drive right there from the left wing, shouldered his way to the right, converted back to the left hand off the window, and Buddy Hield has got 12 points off the bench. Russell Westbrook, last year's MVP, shoulders for space, feeds a spaff, hits off the hands of George, it's grabbed by Buddy Buckets, Buddy drives to the rack and scores. Kings regain the lead. Carter gives to Heald, fakes the three, steps left, launches the three, scores the three. What a pretty sequence by Buddy Heald. The lead is four for Sacramento at 101-97. Heald now has 19, coming up on the midpoint here of the fourth quarter.
Thanks to G-Man and the Kings radio crew there for all the calls. That play, that last three by Buddy was sick. Also, it was probably his best play of the year, one of the best plays of the year for him. Crossover, step back three, dagger, put him up 101-97. Sadly, as you know, the Kings were not able to hang on. They lose to OKC Thunder by a last-second three from Russell Westbrook. They lose 110-107. Tough loss. As I've said, though, there's positives. There's positives in the loss. There was positives on the court and the way they played and the way these young guys played, such as Buddy Heald. And then there's positives in the fact that they lost. And I know some Kings fans hate to hear it, but it's just the truth. Especially, like I said, with so many teams vying for that first pick, if you're out on one of these top picks, it doesn't mean you're picking third, second, third, fourth. You might be picking eighth, because all these teams, there's seven or eight teams that are right at the top among that first pick probability. And I think Frank Ntilikina went like eighth or ninth this year. So there's no guarantee you're going to get a good player down at the bottom of that top 10. I mean, there's no guarantee anywhere you're going to get a good player. As I've said, the only thing that matters is getting the pick right. But again, you have a better probability of getting the pick right if you're picking higher in the draft. When we come back, we're going to preview this Kings-Lakers game coming up. That'll be next here on Locked On Kings. The Kings' next game will be against the Lakers this Friday at the G1C. Or excuse me, this Saturday at the G1C. The Lakers actually play tomorrow night against the Mavs. That'll be their first game back from the All-Star break. I believe we will see Lonzo Ball. He's listed as questionable. Went through a full practice today. And I know Kings fans are still feeding into the De'Aaron Fox, Lonzo Ball rivalry, beef, what have you. Not positive. We'll really see either one. You would think that De'Aaron Fox will be back, but who knows what the time frame is for conjunctivitis. It's not a normal injury or illness, as you know. So we will see. I would assume he's back. Lonzo Ball, not sure. But this is another good test for the Kings. It's one, yes, tonight hurt, losing to OKC in that fashion. But the game's against teams like the Mavs that they won and the Lakers coming up. These are better measuring sticks for me as far as the Kings go than, say, OKC. OKC, great game. They played their hearts out for three quarters, and it was a very tough loss. But how do they look against a team that they match up better against? You can tell a little more from it. And I know the headlines are about Lonzo Ball and De'Aaron Fox, but Kyle Kuzma, that's a guy I want to see. I mean, I like watching him play. I'm sure everyone else does too. Maybe not Kings fans because he's a Laker and we all hate the Lakers. I know that. But he's a guy that you have to watch out for. You would have to watch out for him more than Lonzo. I'll allow the media to pump up Lonzo as far as that goes. Kyle Kuzma is their best rookie. Might be their best player, to be honest. Brook Lopez is another one you have to watch because his minutes have been down before the All-Star break. There's talks of a buyout. If he doesn't get bought out, they've been giving his minutes to younger players such as Ivica Zubac. Larry Nance is gone, so maybe those minutes could go to Brook Lopez. Who knows? Thomas Bryant, if he's not in the G League doing a G League stint, you know, he might get some run. So it's an interesting team to watch. Brandon Ingram's another good player that they have, good young player. They are in a similar spot as the Kings as far as their roster goes. They're just not the Kings just aren't the media darlings that the Lakers are, so the Kings don't get the same pub that the Lakers do. So I personally would love to see the Kings smash them this Saturday at the G1C. I think you all would also. Hopefully, like I said, De'Aaron Fox is back. Hopefully Lonzo's playing. But if not, it's still a good matchup that I am interested in because you still have young guys on both sides looking to progress and get better and get big minutes. So I hope you will all be there watching with me. We will be back Monday. I think you'll have Matt George with you. If not, you'll hear my lovely voice. You might hear both of us. We'll see. Thank you so much for joining me here on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.